Amen. If you turn with me to James chapter 4, verses 11 through 17. James chapter 4, verses 11 through 17. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know that what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. James is speaking here and building upon what we studied this morning about whose attitude are you going to possess? The world's or Christ's? And really, this is the whole purpose of his writing this book, this letter to the church, is that Christians, as they read this, would understand the significance and the importance of developing an attitude and a character that reflects Jesus Christ and understand that they've been delivered from the world. Now, he comes to three, he's really touching on three issues here that are somewhat related, and all deal with relying upon God. The first thing he deals with is judging. And now, what is he saying here when he's saying judging? Because the Lord himself said that we're to examine people's lives to see what fruit they bear so that we can understand, number one, if they're truly a believer, because there are many who, Jesus himself said, who would come in the name of Christ, even as he said this morning, who were not Christians, who were coming with a false gospel, who were coming really to defile the name of Christ in the name of Christ, and really had no desire to serve or worship God, but many of whom desired to build religious systems. So is that what he means by judging here? No, this isn't what he's speaking of. He's speaking of developing an attitude of the world where you look at another person and you begin to pick them apart. You begin to condemn them for things that are really not worthy of condemning, and you begin to become the one who sets the standards by which people are to live. We are not called to set the standards for people's lives. Rather, we're called to establish the Word of God and share with them the Word of God and allow God's Word and His Spirit to be that which guides and directs their life. You're not to follow Glenn Knutson. You're not to follow a teacher. You're not to, for example, that's the way cults work. Cults come and they have a leader or a group of leaders, and they tell you how to live. They tell you how to dress. They tell you how to act. They tell you, for example, the Watchtower is the official magazine of the Jehovah Witnesses. There's a group of, quote, elders or leaders of the Jehovah Witness cult in New York that determine for you what books you should read, what you should do and you can do and can't do, how you will respond to people if they ask you questions. For example, they have teaching sessions where they just ask the question and then have you recite back the answer, and then they send you out to evangelize, and that's their means of evangelism, one of their means of training. But there is no thinking. It's kind of like check your brain at the door. The Bible never tells us to do that. As a matter of fact, God challenges us to constantly read His Word and come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. And that each one of us is accountable and responsible to God to get into His Word and to be able to understand His Word. As a matter of fact, the teacher is not above those who he is teaching within the realm of Christianity. For example, the Apostle Paul. Remember, he said to the Bereans, he encouraged the Bereans because, and said they were a noble people, because when he taught them from the Scriptures about that Jesus was the Messiah, and the Scriptures that they had would have been the Old Testament, what is referred to as the Old Testament, they went home and searched out diligently in the Scriptures to see if what he said was true. They just didn't take his word for it, but rather they wanted to see what God said about it and whether God was being represented properly by the Apostle Paul as he preached. Likewise, you should do that with whatever I say. You should take, and if you take notes or if you're listening to what I say, go home and study the Word yourself. Don't just take it because I'm saying it, but rather look at the Word of God and learn it yourself. Well, what James is talking about is the person who allows individuals or thinks that they are the one that should dictate how others should live instead of allowing God's Spirit to be the one that directs it and the Word of God to be the foundation for our beliefs. And he says there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. And who is that one lawgiver? It's the Lord. And His Word is a sharp two-edged sword. It cuts away that which is sin and convicts, and yet at the same time it condemns that which is wickedness and evil, and it's also that which reveals salvation. And so it comes both to save and to judge, and that is God and God alone. It is not men. And so if men come and tell you this is what you need to do, and this is how you need to live, and this is what you need to do, and they're basing it upon their thoughts, their observations, their perceptions, that's not what it's based on. It's the Word of God. And so James goes on, he says, who art thou that judgest another? Go now, ye that say today or tomorrow. And then he comes to the second issue. So we see the first issue is judgment establishing the way that we live. But then he's saying, how do you live? How do you live? I remember in business, I go to these business seminars, and they'd always say, get your five-year plan, your 10-year plan, and get it planned out for your business, and where are you going to be in 5 years, and where are you going to be in 10 years? I always struggled with that, because how do I determine what tomorrow is going to bring? I mean, it's not that you don't have a plan, that you don't think, well, this is what I need to do. But for me to say that 5 years from now, my business is going to be at X number of places, I'm going to sell X number of dollars, there are all kinds of variables that come in, and I know none of them. I don't know who's going to buy stuff. I don't know the economy could go bad. There's all kinds of things that I can't control. And I can't even control my own life when it comes down to it. You've heard the statement that you are one heartbeat away from eternity. In other words, anyone sitting here, our heart could stop on the next beat, and we'd be with the Lord. And if we weren't a Christian, we'd be awaiting judgment. We don't know what tomorrow brings, but God does. Jesus, when confronted with the same type of thinking, presented the parable about the rich man. You remember the parable of the rich man, this guy? He had a great 10-year plan. He'd gone to all the seminars, and he had built up his business. He had a farming business, and he built it up so well, and he'd had such a wonderful year that he filled all of his granaries. And he said, I fill all my granaries. I'm going to build more granaries because next year is even going to be better. I'm on the top of the world. And what did Jesus say? He was a fool. For today his soul would be required of him, and it would mean nothing. All of his riches would be left to another. He would have no control over it. And it didn't matter what 10-year or 5-year or 15 or 20-year plans he'd made, because they'd all come to an end that night when he would be standing before the Lord. So what do we do? Well, James tells us. He says, go to now and ye say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get to gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. And none of us do what tomorrow shall bring. For what is your life? And this is something that you always need to keep in mind. And a lot of times, especially when you're younger, you don't think about this. You think that life is going to go on forever. Nothing is going to change. That you'll never get old. I just saw a man that I went to when I was in college. We went to church together at Grace Baptist. My wife grew up with him. He grew up in the church out there. And I hadn't seen him for a number of years. Guess what? His hair is gray and he's a little overweight. And he's gotten older. Time didn't stop. But back 35, 40 years ago, when I was in college, I didn't think that I'd be 56 one day. I mean, in my mind, I intellectually understood that one day I was going to get older, but you never thought it would happen to you. But one day it does. You get older. Things change. You can't stop time from moving on. And you can't control, ultimately, when God calls you home. So what do? Well, you rely upon the one who knows about these things. It says here, for you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Now, what is the difference? You notice the emphasis? The one is the world's perspective of looking at it, where it revolves around you. You're in total control. You're the one that's got the 10-year plan. You're the one that's got your life in control. The second is, I will do this if God wills that I do it. And you begin to look to the one who can give you guidance and direction for your life. And you say, yes, I'll go and I'll set up a business in that town if God allows me and wills me that I do it. And if he does, then I'm going to try and make it prosperous if the Lord wills it. But it's not my ultimate decision. It's God's direction. And there's a total different emphasis and purpose. You're doing the same thing. You may be doing the same thing. But one is, I'm doing it in my strength. I can control my own destiny. And the second is, I'm looking to God for His guidance. Total different perspective. And as Christians, we're to be looking to the Lord for His guidance. So how do we look to the Lord for His guidance? That's a question a lot of people ask. Well, number one, His Word will help us guide in our paths. God will never have us do anything that's in violation of His Word. That will not be coming from the Lord. For example, a young man or young woman, if you meet a man or a woman and you fall madly in love with them, but they hate God, I can guarantee you it is not the will of God that you marry that person. I can guarantee you. Why? Because God's Word says it's not. It says that we're not to be unequally yoked. And so why would God want to ordain a marriage that would violate His Word? He doesn't. He desires that you would not marry that person unless they came to Christ and it was a true commitment to the Lord. And really their attitude has to be that they'd be willing to not marry you if God told them and called them into an area where of service that they place the Lord's will ahead of their own. And that would be the desire. And then you'd know that that person is probably a candidate for marriage if they had that attitude. Not the other one where they hated God. So we can give this as direction. You also know that, for example, you're not to go into a business or an area of work that would be in violation of the principles of God's Word. For example, do you think a Christian should open a gambling hall? Do you think that would be something like a bingo parlor or a casino that a Christian should be seeking to be employed and work in those areas? There's Christians that work in those areas. But what does God's Word say? Well, God's Word said that I'm not to be basing my life upon greed and basing my decisions upon chance, but rather I'm to work and base my gain of money and profit by the sweat of my brow, not by feeding upon other people's lusts and desires. So why would I take a job in a position or a profession that violates the Word of God? And so we need to examine things in light of that as you plan for your future. And then realize that as you do those things and as you seek God's will, God will open up opportunities and doors that you can make choices and step through, basing it upon the Word of God and the principles contained within God's Word. But you don't have to go that far. You can even take things that are good professions or good jobs. But if you make that your life's emphasis. For example, there are people that pour their whole life into a job to the exclusion of the Lord, to the exclusion of their families. And they may become very, very proficient at what they do. They may become world-renowned. They may be winning accolades of men all over the world. But they do not have they're not walking in obedience, rather, to the will of God, if they place even their job, a good job, a worthy job, ahead of the will and the purposes of God, ahead of serving God, ahead of loving their family, ahead of taking time to raise their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. If they don't do those things, their job and profession is meaningless. And that's what James is saying here. Remember, you're only given a brief time on this earth. And you stand accountable for how you use this time. You stand accountable to God for the hours. That's why Peter says to count the days and to remember the hours, or to remember the time and to count it and to understand the brevity of it and to understand that you stand accountable to the Lord for the moments, for the things you say, the things you do. And so you need to seek to be guided by the Lord. So the second thing he tells us is, but now you rejoice in your boastings. Also, such rejoicing is evil. So if you're rejoicing because I've got this position, I've got this job, I've got this money, I've got this house, I've got these things, or even look at my family. If that's what you're boasting in, that's evil. Rather, you should say, the Lord has allowed me to be a steward of these things. How will I allow them to be used for God's glory and that good may come to me? And so we need to look at the proper emphasis. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So how does that draw a conclusion to the things that we looked at here? Number one, to know how to disciple people properly and not do it is sin. To disciple people properly is to help instruct them in the Lord. Paul tells us how to disciple people properly by what he tells Timothy, that he is to preach the gospel in season and out of season, and he's to use it to rebuke, to reprove, and to exhort others unto godliness. That is the what we are to do to disciple. We are not to become lords over people. We are not to lord and dictate how they live their lives. Rather, we are to become disciplers, teachers, and show them by the example of our life and our relationship with Christ. If we choose to to lord it over them instead of disciple them, we know what we should do, and we have chosen to do the other, it has become evil. Even though we can say in both cases, well, I'm trying to help them, I'm trying to teach them, I'm trying to show them. Well, if you're dictating as a lord over them and not as a teacher or a discipler, you're doing evil. Likewise, and we gave the examples of what you make for the emphasis when you plan out your future and your life. You can have goals, but understand that as God brings events into your life, you need to be flexible to be changeable, to go God's direction when God would dictate that you would go a different direction. Don't sit and believe the people that would come from New York City and set up a seminar and say, have your five-year plan. And you become so locked into this five-year plan that nothing will move you from it. Understand that God is ready to move us. And if it's after 6 months, I'm going to change direction if God reveals I need to change direction. Because if God is leading me to do something else and I fail to do it, then it's become evil. Even though the profession that I may be pursuing may be a good profession. That's what James is saying here. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Remember, the whole emphasis of this book is how do you live your Christian life? And it's a matter of that every aspect of our life needs to reflect our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And that faith, without a life being lived to show it, is meaningless. That's what he's saying. To just give words to things and say that I'm a Christian because I said a prayer or I said I made a commitment, but then I go out and I have my five-year plan and I lord things over people and I do what I want to do when I want to do it and I never consult the Lord and I never seek God's direction, that faith is meaningless. But our faith is to reflect our trust in Christ. That Jesus knows the beginning from the end in our life. If you stop and think about that, that God knows what he desires for you to do. That God will give you ample opportunity of open doors that no man can shut if you seek to walk through them on His terms by His leadership. He'll give you opportunities to share the gospel, to be used by Him to make an eternal difference in people's lives. And He may place you in different professions. He has. We have all kinds of professions here. And you can look around and see some of them. And wherever they are, is God using you there for His glory and His good? And are you willing to be used? That's the key. Because that's what James is saying. To him that knows what is good and refuses to do it, it has become evil. Do that which is good, and be obedient to the Lord as a reflection of your faith and trust in Him, that He knows what is best for your life and what will bring you good and Him glory. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that You would help us to understand Your Word and help us to make application of it. Help us to see that we're not the ones that are to be the dictators of our ways, or the directors of our paths, but rather we are to seek Your guidance, Your direction, Your help according to Your Word. Help us to trust in You and do that which is pleasing to You. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen.